We are starting a one-time-only special fall preview service this morning, and we tried to make the graphic look a little fallish since it was 90 degrees yesterday, and it doesn't feel very fallish outside, but we're going to do a special little time this morning. I'm going to start with some time in the Word and just talk a little bit about especially a specific passage of Scripture that is meaningful to me and that's meaningful to us as we move forward. And then we'll kind of funnel down into the more practicalities in a few minutes. The bad news for all of you this morning is that you get not one preacher mic'd up, but two. We had to create a whole new channel in the digital board up there so that each of us could have one of these microphones. So you get two preachers for the price of one today. So buckle your seatbelts. Hopefully you brought a snack or a lunch. If your blood sugar levels get low, there may be a couple donuts left back there. No, there's not. Oh, we're in trouble. Just for a minute this morning, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says this, and it's on the screen if you'd like to look at it. You can, but Galatians 6, 9 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And I love, that's one of my favorite verses personally, just as a Christian. I love that the tagline that I use all the time with that is, it might not be an easy price, but it's a price worth paying in terms of walking the Christian walk and living the Christian life. But today I want to take that and apply it specifically to some things that drive us here as a church. And there's one phrase that I want to show you that is something that really has driven us for a long time here at the church. And it's kind of like a philosophy thing that we use. But it really relates back to this particular verse. "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not get up." Here's the phrase that drives a lot of what we do, that Lauren and I as the pastors here do, is that we always want to be faithful with what's in front of us. We want to be faithful with the things that God places like right in our path right then. And what that has meant over the course of, for me, it's about 8.5 years. For Lauren, it's 14, a long time, right? And what that's always meant for us is that we've never been really interested in growing a big church with lots of numbers. Like, numbers has not been the thing that has driven the philosophy of what we do here at the church. You've heard us talk about that before. But budgets and buildings and another B word in seats, like that, those things aren't the things that like drive what we do, right? We're not interested in creating a full list, a menu of ministries for everybody to choose from so that we're just like all the other churches and make sure that we have all of the different opportunities for everybody. So programs and buildings and budgets, right? You don't even see us take an offering anymore, and the Lord has provided and abundantly provided. Now look, don't stop giving because God has stuff for us to do. But the nice thing is we don't have to emphasize those things every week. We don't have to take two offerings and three offerings, and I feel the Lord calling us to take yet another offering. The things that we have tried to do is we've tried to say, what is God putting right in our path right now, and how has He called us to be faithful with that? And throughout the course of 8.5 years that I've been here, that's looked different in different seasons. In some of those seasons, it's looked like shepherding and stewarding a few people well. In other seasons, more people. And sometimes it's a few ministries. And other times, it's more ministries. Youth ministry has looked different in the time that I've been here. But we've always tried to say, like, let's be faithful with what's right in front of us. Rather than looking at everything all the time, let's look at the things that God has in front of us. And so He's going to talk in a few minutes about some of the things that we believe that God has in front of us right now. But before that, I want to just, I got 3 points. You think I can do it? Nope, I didn't think so. Okay, good. 3 points, we're going to do it quickly, but a couple from that passage that I think is important for us. And the first one is this, as we talk about being faithful, we need to realize that faithfulness always requires fortitude, right? Galatians 6, 9a, "Let us not grow weary of doing good." Anybody ever get tired trying to do the right thing? Like in a culture where the right thing isn't always seen as the right, you get tired? Because sometimes faithfulness actually like breeds frustration, doesn't it? Sometimes trying to be faithful to the Lord actually leads to fatigue. I don't have many more of those words starting with F. I wanted to say F words, but that would have been weird. But at the end of the day, like faithfulness to the Lord requires some fortitude. Let us not become weary in doing good. I would tell you that there are some times in shepherding this flock and doing ministry here We need fortitude as pastors. COVID was a tough time, man. We're trying to make decisions and do the right thing and do what the Lord has called us to, not what everyone else is calling us to. Requires some fortitude. Let us not become weary doing good. The second piece to that verse is this, that faithfulness also then produces fruitfulness. Let us not become weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. We will reap a harvest, the NIV says. That faithfulness produces fruitfulness. We don't define fruitfulness here as number of people that come and sit. Again, we don't define fruitfulness as the amount of overflow we have in our budget. We don't define fruitfulness as the number of different ministry options that people can have. For us, fruitfulness is people walking in relationship with the Lord. Being faithful with what's in front of us at PCBC starts with making sure that this book is always in front of us. That God's word is always what we're being faithful to. That preaching and teaching God's word, that running our lives and our ministries from God's word is what's in front of us. That leading us to having relationship with God and with each other is what we're to be faithful in. So fruitfulness for us is when people come here who don't have a relationship with Jesus and develop a relationship with Jesus. Or people who have a little relationship with Jesus grow in relationship with Jesus. Faithfulness produces fruitfulness. As we're faithful to the right things, he says, let us not become weary doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest of spiritual fruitfulness. And that's what we're shooting for in all the things that we do. It's important that you know that, so that when we talk about programs and when we talk about different steps, the next steps of things that we're going to do, that we equate that with spiritual fruitfulness. Finally, the last piece is this, that faithfulness keeps moving forward. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. When? If we do not give up. It's so easy to give up. It's so easy to get diverted. It's so easy to get sidetracked. It's so easy to get sidetracked doing good things that we forget the best things. Faithfulness means that we keep moving forward. So as leaders, I want you to know that that's what we've been committed to for the last decade, plus or minus, for the two of us, is being faithful with what's in front of us. And there have been times, and there continue to be times, when it requires fortitude. This is a time in our church where that faithfulness is producing fruitfulness, both spiritually and numerically. And so we are forced to make some decisions and forced to do some different things, but we want to continue to be faithful what God's called us to. And that means that faithfulness says that we have to keep moving forward. And so, again, before Lauren comes and talks about specifically what next steps look like and moving forward looks like, here's a new phrase, a different phrase that's been resonating in my mind that I want to share with you. And that's this, is that to get there, we can't stay here. We believe that God has called us to a next step. God has called us to some new things. Some of those are just really small, right? And some of those maybe take a little bit more time and a little bit more effort. But what we believe is this, is that to get there, to get to the place that God wants us to go, we can't stay here. We can't, and that doesn't mean we're leaving this church building, by the way. Just a couple of you are sweating and freaking out. We have no plans to sell the building or anything like that. But what we do know is that we need to keep taking next steps forward, because we believe that there is a there that God has for this church. And I don't want to get stuck staying right here because it's comfortable. Stuck staying here because it's easy. Stuck staying here because it's what we all know how to do. We want to continue to be faithful and move into what God has for us. And I know that for some of us, that's a little scary, right? With growth of any kind comes growing pains. For us as parents right now, those growing pains is like pocketbook pains, because it's like, didn't you just buy those jeans last week and now you don't fit into those anymore? And How come you keep growing? And I got to keep buying, right? Growing pains. Someone told me this, is that when your church grows, it's going to get uncomfortable for people, because you're going to lose your parking spot. Oh, not if I put my name on it. You're going to lose your parking spot. You're going to lose your seat. People aren't going to know your name. Somebody, and I don't know who it was, so I can say this, a few weeks ago, asked my wife if she was new here. That's really cool. Like, that's fun, right? That's kind of fun. Hey, are you new here? No, my husband's one of the pastors, right? But people are gonna like not know your name and not remember your name. And some of those things make some of us uncomfortable. You're like, I'm not gonna know anybody. This isn't my church anymore. And when somebody says, this isn't my church anymore, you know what I don't say it because it wouldn't be nice, but you know what I'm thinking? It never was. It wasn't my church, it wasn't his church, it wasn't your, it's the Lord's church. And we love what God has done here. We love the community in Puyallup Community Baptist Church, and we want to do everything that we can to preserve that. We realize that there can be some growing pains, but here's what we do know, is that growth is a good thing. Like, God expects his church to grow spiritually, maybe numerically, but that growth has always been part of what God has wanted for his church, and so we want to continue to press into that. To get there, we can't stay here. Lauren's going to talk about some of the specifics of what that looks like. And I'd like to point out to everyone right now, 11 minutes and 40 seconds. Thank you. Thank you.
I don't think my phone doesn't do that. I'm not sure how you do that, Steve.
Awesome.
We all know now he can be held accountable to that, right? As we look at moving to there, I want you to just listen real quickly. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Does it feel to you like Jesus coming is a little bit closer than it was a couple years ago? Yes, there are some things in our culture at the moment that say, hey, he's coming back quickly. And if we're convinced of that, you know what else needs to be happening? Like, it doesn't need to be just getting worse out there. It needs to be getting better in here. And Scripture says that we're supposed to consider how to stir up one another. How to, you've heard Steve preach on this before, how to spur one another. Get the little, you know, the boots out and give a kick in the rear sometimes to stimulate one another. In a negative way, that word is used as well, to irritate one another. Don't go there, okay? But we need to learn how to encourage one another. And so we've talked a lot here about growing in connecting, serving, and sharing. We need to continue to learn how to grow, connect, serve, and share. And as we grow here, it's going to take a lot more work to be able to do that. If you are familiar at all with what's going on in our culture at the moment, it's not just getting weirder out in the world. You look at some of the stuff that's going on denominationally and with some of the big names that you know, and you think, man, like, is this for real? Because these are like some of the leaders that we have within our religious institutions and the people that we listen to on the radio and the TV. And we look at all this stuff and we go, is it a safe place anymore? And sometimes I'm sure as you look around and this isn't the same place that it used to be, you may have a question as well. Hey, is this a safe place? Like, I want to encourage somebody around here to grow, but I also want to know that it's safe. And so one of the things that we want to hit here at the very beginning, as you've looked around at your culture and you said, man, some of your spiritual leaders have fallen or they've done things that you're not proud of, and you look at this church, we want to say here at the beginning of the fall, if you ever see anything going on within leadership, that means with Steve and I or leadership within your ministries or anything like that, that you look at it and you go, I'm not sure that represents Christ well. It may not just be a moral thing. It might be a thing about working too much or a thing about not taking care of your family. I mean, if you see things that you say, hey, can I ask you a question? Please ask us. We want to make sure that this is a safe place. We don't want to get caught one day where somebody says, hey, I should have asked somebody and I should have said something, but I didn't. And now 2 years down the track, we find out something happened that shouldn't have happened. We want to make sure that this is a safe place. So we want to say to every single one of you, if you see things that you have questions about, please don't hesitate to ask the question. It's not wrong to ask the question. What is wrong? To keep it to yourself. If we're supposed to stir one another up, spur one another on, maybe even irritate one another. That's risky. But you guys know what? It's getting closer. Christ's coming is getting closer and closer and closer. We want to be as effective as we can. So make sure that if you see something, you say something. So here's what I want to do. I want to talk about a few things that we have done to try and make it a safe place, okay? We have this thing called Planning Center. Some of you guys have been at other churches. You already know what this is. But basically, it's a way of centralizing all of our data. And some of the ways that we're using that is we've kind of changed the way that we do kids ministry check-in now. So that the parents come, we make sure that the parent drops off the kid, they get a little sticker, the parents get a little sticker, off the kids go, and when we pick them up, guess what? You're going to have the little sticker to pick up a little kid. You can't just walk off with somebody. We want to make sure that that kind of thing happens. We're trying to make sure as well, we've kind of looked at our child protection policy, we've looked at some of the things that were in it, taking some of it out. We're trying to put some things in that needed to be in there. So we're reworking all of our child protection policy, and we're trying to make sure that that as well legally is protecting us. So we've done a few things like that. We've also tried to do a ministry safe training with everybody that's involved in kids ministry. It basically creates an awareness of saying, hey, what should I be looking for things that might be unsafe? So everybody that's involved in kids ministry should have gone through that training. If they haven't yet, they're working their way through it. Okay, so those are just a few things that we're doing within kids ministry. Planning Center is a way, again, to kind of centralize all of our data so that when we have things that we need to communicate with you, we have the right information for all the people that need to know. So that brings up something kind of important. If you have not yet downloaded the Church Center app, I'd encourage you to do that. But you don't just have to do it that way. If you are not sure that our church has the information that we need in order to communicate with you, please come see one of us, Steve or myself, or you can talk to one of the deacons as well. Shoot the QR code for the Connect code card so that we can make sure that we have the right information. Because you know what happens sometimes? We send out information, and you say, I never got it. And we have an email that was, 12 years ago. We never got the updated email or a phone number. We texted you. I never got it. So we need you to help us in that way. We're doing the best that we can to try and get all of this data in the right place. But if it's going to be helpful to us, we need you to help us in that way. So if you've been around for a little while and you're not sure that we have your information, please make sure you got the little Connect card that's right in front of you. You scan that and it'll take you to the right place. Or you can see one of us. We'll update it if you don't have a phone or you don't want to be bothered with that electronic stuff. As well, what we would like you to do is to be getting involved in something that's smaller than Sundays. We see this all the time. We say it all the time. We try and communicate it all the time. Sunday morning is a great time for us as family. We love to be together. But Sunday morning is like one of the big picture things that's probably not going to help you like you need to be helped. You need to get involved in relationship with somebody. You need to get involved in places where people can encourage you spiritually. And it doesn't matter what age you're at, whether you're a little kid, you can get involved in stuff that's going on Wednesday nights, or you're 85, 90 years old, you can get involved in small group throughout the week. Wherever that is, you need to get involved in something that is smaller than Sunday. For some of you, you're already involved in ministry, and you say, I don't have that many days in the week. Like, I'm involved in this, and I'm involved in that. Our goal, again, is not to get you involved in stuff. We want what you're involved in to be effective for your spiritual growth. And so if you're already involved in a couple of ministries, and you say, I don't have time for a discipleship group, make sure that what you're doing is effective for your spiritual growth as well. Don't just be doing something for the sake of doing something. Find something that you get excited about. Find something that where people can encourage you and get involved in something that is smaller than Sundays. So we want to provide a safe place to connect, grow, serve, and share. Second thing I want to communicate here this morning is that we do have a plan to continue to grow. We've said to you before, whether it's in Starting Point class or we talk to you one-on-one, like we are excited about getting bigger and smaller at the same time. Bigger, we're going to reach more. Smaller, we're going to grow more. And so we're excited about continuing to reach our community for Christ. That means, first of all, we need to be in desperate prayer that God would reach people for Christ. Like, we're not just about collecting people from other churches. We are about seeing people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so if you would make it a matter of prayer, put it in your daily prayer time, God, use us to reach people for Christ. I've heard lots of stories of some of you who are involved in relationship, and you've been faithfully sharing the Word of God and sharing the gospel with people around you. And sometimes it's frustrating, isn't it? Sometimes it's discouraging because you don't ever get to lead somebody to Christ. Your job is not to lead somebody to Christ. Your job is to be faithful in communicating the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's His job to bring people to Christ. So continue to do that. Continue to pray that people will come to know Christ. But here's what I want to share in regards to how we're going to do that, okay? We've already started the first phase. We've opened up next door in the fellowship hall. We've opened up fellowship hall as an overflow. That is not an overflow for people who come in late, okay? We don't want that to be a place where if you come in after 10:45, you get thrown in that room. We're going to make that room a special area. We're going to try and have some hosts that are going to be hosting that area so that as we continue to move into the fall, we know there are going to be more people. We're going to have a place that people go, yeah, this is my special place. What I would like you to think about is, could you be one of the people who are ready when we, like if we stand up at 10:40 and we say, you know, we're getting a little bit full, we're going to need some people to move over to Fellowship Hall. You might say, hey, I want to be one of those people. I want to be able to give up my seat so the people who are coming in can have a chance to hear the message of the gospel right here in this location. If you're one of those people, I'd encourage you to talk to one of the deacons so that they can know that you would be able to step outside and be a part of that fellowship hall group, and you can count on me. That doesn't mean that if you didn't let a deacon know, you can't do that, okay? Because what we're going to try and do is Steve and I are going to try and keep an eye on how full this place gets, and if it's getting full at 20 minutes till, we're going to stand up and we're going to say, okay, we need some people to move out. If it's your Sunday, maybe you say, hey, you know, this Sunday, I want to move out. Or maybe you say, regularly, I want to move out. Whatever it is, we want that to be a place where it's our people who already know, hey, I'm giving up my opportunity, my privilege to be in here so that somebody else can have a chance to hear the message of the gospel. That's phase number one. Phase number two, and again, think not next week, not maybe next month, but when Fellowship Hall begins to look full, the dreaded two services. I saw that face. There are some of you who go, I don't want to go to two services. Guess what? Steve and I would both be there raising our hand. We don't want to go to two services either. But we do want to continue to go with God, and we can't stay where we're at and go with Him at the same time. So Fellowship Hall begins to look like it's getting full. We've already got some plans in place to be able to move to two services. We will begin to communicate that with people who are involved in ministry, whether it's in kids' church or whether it's music team or whatever it is, so that when that happens, you're not caught off guard. And again, we're thinking through ways that we can do that. It may be, hey, we're going to talk to some small groups and say, will your discipleship group consider meeting at this service? Or will you as families consider making this service your service so that it's intentional? It's not just like, hey, whoever shows up at this service is cool and whoever shows up at that service. We want to make it so that if we have to go to two services, both services matter. We're not going to try and let this thing be a church split where you get, you know, one traditional service and one contemporary service. We're going to keep them the same, but we want to make sure that, again, it is effective for our spiritual growth. That's phase number two. We hope that phase number two will never happen and that we'll skip straight to phase number three. We're already working on phase number three. This wall right here, which has the baptistry behind it, okay, you've seen a few people get baptized. There's another wall back there that's called the outside wall. Guess what we're planning on doing? Making that the back wall of our sanctuary. So the goal is to take this wall out, take the baptistry out, slide everything back here, and that way we get five more rows up front here, which is 100 people. Well, it depends on if we get all these girls. We might get 150 extra seats up front here. But that's the plan, so that we can be able to do that. We've already started, we've begun the process of having somebody design what it looks like, engineering and all that kind of stuff, so that we can go to the city of Puyallup. Guess what we need from you? Prayer. That's right. As we go to the city of Puyallup, we need you to pray that they would be able to look at those plans and say, man, that looks great, go for it. Instead of, that looks great, but... All right, we don't want but, we would go for it. Along with taking this back wall out and moving it back to the back of the building, included in those plans, if you go out that door over there, there's what we call the restrooms. If you've been in there, you know why people are laughing. So the goal is to be able to take this left side, there's a cry room and a couple of bathrooms. Take that whole side, that would become the ladies' bathroom. And then over here where we currently have the library, that would be the men's bathroom. So we would have two separate bathrooms so that everybody can get in and do their job, okay? So we want to be able to help with that. And we know that as well as we put some more pews up here and we put people up here, that's going to make all that crowded as well. So we want to make sure that we include all of that. So that's phase number three. That, again, is not going to happen in the next month. Maybe the next 6 months, if you know anything about the city of Puyallup, it may take a little while. But if you could pray with us that that would go as quickly as we can, so that if we move from phase one directly, I mean, it would be really cool to move from phase one to phase three. The last phase, phase four. Again, Steve already mentioned this, but our goal is not to become a mega church. We don't want to, you know, bulldoze everything here, put a 5,000-seat auditorium. If we get to the place where we've got two services that are at the place where we can sustain this, our next step in phase four is to be able to plant another church. Now, we want to do that in there are lots of ways that we could do it. We could do it by going out and planting a church in a place where we've got a lot of people who are from the same area and helping them find a building and get started on their own. Or we may find in that area there's a church that's struggling. And we've got enough people to send out there and to help revive that church. So, again, our goal is not to get a whole bunch of people right here, but to help everybody to grow effectively. And we honestly think that one of the ways that we can do that is by keeping it, like, not tiny, but keeping it small enough that you have the community that we have here. We believe that's really important to us. And so we're trying to do the best that we can all the way along in these phases to make sure that we maintain that community, even to the point where if God blesses us enough to be able to have two services that are full, we don't then think, oh man, we're really cool. Let's try and, you know, bust out another building or something like that. We want to be able to keep things in a place where we can have continued community. So those four phases, overflow space, two services, being able to knock out this wall, and then if God ever got us to that point, we would start another church. Lastly, we need you. Guys, it's 11:30. I don't know if we've ever done this before, Steve. 11:30, we're on our last point here. We need you. There's a connect card, all right? And we say this every week, and sometimes it comes across as like the only thing that it's for is in relation to the sermon. It is like any way that you want to get in touch with us and let us know some information. If you've got your address, phone number, any of that kind of stuff. If you've got a way that you want to get involved, whether it's in service or whether it's with discipleship groups or whether it's finding out, you know, can you use the building to be able to meet together for a disciple, whatever it is. The Connect card is the way that you do that. So it's really important that you use it. So here are a couple of ways that we need your help. All right, currently our parking is back to one location. We used to have down at the Silver Lot down here, right down the road, we used to have a place where we could park. Guess what's going on for the month of September? The dreaded fair, yes. And we tried to get some parking passes. They weren't willing to do that. But as soon as the fair's over, we're going to lease the parking lot again and we're going to be able to park down there. If you could help us out by A, parking down there. That'd be great, because sometimes people are having a hard time finding a place. Not even just that. Again, a reminder that we have neighbors around. And sometimes when we all bust out of here at the same time, it gets a little crazy for our neighbors. So one of the ways that we can help is to disperse our cars and exits and all that kind of stuff. So if you want to park down there after the month of September, after the fair's over, please do that. It opens up when the music team begins practice. So it should be for most of you guys, should be open already by the time you get here. As well, if you would like to help shuttle back and forth, it was great during the summer. Right? Because some of us could walk back and forth. Beautiful mornings, beautiful afternoons to walk. Good, real quick walk, brisk walk sometimes. But we are now in the fall, as you can see with the leaves behind me. And that means that that thing up in the sky won't always be up in the sky. And there will be things falling down from the sky that we haven't seen for a while. It may be a little more difficult to park down there. If you would like to be able to help transport people to and fro, please, Dave Bringler, raise your hand back there. Dave is back there. If you want to help with that, let him know. He's the guy that's kind of organizing our parking lot stuff, and he'd love for some help. As well, if you want to help with security, we have somebody that's down there watching the cars during the whole service, okay? So we know that it's a little bit risky down there, a little more risky than having it your car here, but we'll have somebody down there every week to make sure that while we're having our service here, nothing down there is going on. So far, it's been pretty good. There have been some people who have parked in the parking lot, but kept an eye on them and just said at the end, hey, unless you want to get your car locked in here, it's time to leave because our service is over. So far it's been good. We appreciate those that have given their time to be able to help provide security. If you want to be a part of that, make sure that you let Dave Bringler know about that as well. Some of the ministry needs that we have, as you well know, we always have nursery and kids ministry needs. If you've ever thought about working with kids, make sure that on the Connect card, again, you just let somebody know, hey, I'm interested in helping with kids. I'm interested in helping with the nursery. You will need to do all of the background checks and all that kind of stuff and the training, but we'd love to have you be a part of that. Greeters, if you would be interested in helping out at either one of the doors as people come in, we can always use another smiling face and somebody to shake a hand and say, hey, I remember your name even, right, as they come in the door. And that's one of the things that is really important as we get to a little bit bigger and we have people come in that they look around, they don't know anybody, but it's a sea of faces, somebody that's at the door that can make sure that they know as they come in, they're important, okay? So if you're interested in that, make sure that you see JC up here. JC, raise your hand, or you can, again, fill in the Connect card. Last one, we've asked for this a couple times, but if you're interested in helping with coffee or hospitality, and that's your thing, like if you have people over at your house all the time, you could do it here. You can have people all the time just coming by and you get a smile and hand them a cup of coffee or help them out with donuts, whatever that is. If you are interested in that kind of thing as well, make sure that you let us know through the Connect card. We are going to try to communicate the best that we can all the time through a couple of different means. Number one, Friday email updates. You guys know what those are? If you don't know what they are, all right, the Connect card right in front of you. Just say, I want a Friday email update. Now, here's the thing, though. Even like the last couple of weeks, we haven't had workshops. Guess what? We've had people here for workshops. Why? Because they didn't read their Friday email update. We're going to send it out to you, but it's on you to read it, okay? And we want to be able to keep you informed on what's going on here. Make sure that you check your email. If you're not getting it, but you signed up for it, check your junk mail, because it may get sent there. Make sure that you put our email address in there so that you know that it's getting to you. So Friday email update. And then if you don't want to do that, you just want to check real quickly what's going on. The last way is through our website. again, we're trying to do the best that we can of keeping everything that we're doing on the website. If you look for the events down towards the bottom of the main page, we usually have four different events that are listed there. And you can click on there to see the full calendar as well, so you can see what's coming up. We're going to try and keep a month in advance so that you know what's going on. If it's things like, you know, men's retreat or ladies' stuff that's going on as well, we'll keep some of that a little further out. But some of the main stuff we're going to keep going just a month at a time. So make sure that you check the website so that you can know what's going on. Again, if you have any other questions, contact the office. I know sometimes we get tired of asking questions. Sometimes people get tired of answering questions. What's the dumb question? The question that never gets asked, okay? So if you don't know what's going on, make sure that you ask somebody. We're here really to help you. I know you hear that all the time, but we really are here to help you because our job is not just to collect people. Our job is to help you to grow spiritually. And we want to do the best that we can at that. Some of you guys have gotten involved in discipleship groups recently. Some of you guys are, I'm excited to hear that some of you guys are getting involved in the Word of God. And we've been able to help you with some plans to reading the Word of God. Keep that up because that's going to help you to grow as much as anything else, all right? I guess if you hear anything this morning, one of the things that Steve and I want you to understand is that we can't stay where we're at right now and still get to where God wants us to go. No matter who we are, we're not supposed to be the same person that we are right now. A year down the track, 5 years down the track, 10 years down the track, we're supposed to look more like Christ than we do right now. And so we can't stay where we are. We can't be here and still get to there. And it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to take work. It's going to take frustration. It's going to take a lot of stuff that some of us, you know, we liked it the way it was. But I want to encourage you. Steve already said it's worth the journey. It's worth the effort. It's worth the risk for us to become more like Christ. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's consider some different ways this week that you might be able to spur somebody else on to love and good deeds. Maybe that's in your discipleship group. Maybe that's sending somebody a text or an email. Maybe it's showing up to something that you haven't showed up to yet. Whatever it is, determine this week, help somebody to look more like Christ than they do right now. Thanks for your attention this morning. I know it's not a normal service. We're only going to do this once, okay? Next Sunday, we're going to be talking about the Word of God, and then we're going to be jumping into a new series the Sunday after that. So I want to encourage you, as we look at what's going on, that you would just begin to ask God, okay, am I where I need to be right now? And then what do I need to do to get to where you want me to be tomorrow, okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for each one of the people that are here this morning. Thank you for the part that they play in helping me as a pastor look more like Christ. I thank you for the role that they play in helping others to look more like Christ. And God, I pray that as well, the impact that we would have on them would be meaningful. And Father, I pray that, again, at the end of the day, it's not about how big this church gets. It's about whether or not we look more like Christ. And so, Father, I pray that as we consider how to spur one another on, how to stimulate one another, and maybe even sometimes irritate one another, that at the end of the day, when you send Jesus back to get us, we'd be excited about that privilege to be taken up to be with you for eternity. So God, help us to love one another in that way. In Jesus' name, amen.